Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus far we read the word of the Lord at Psalm 92. And that to which I draw your attention in the preaching of the gospel this morning is the first 4 verses of Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Beloved, I would preach this morning a post-Thanksgiving sermon. I was not privileged to preach this Thanksgiving day, but I would nevertheless take advantage of this Lord's Day immediately after Thanksgiving to preach a post-Thanksgiving sermon. And I would preach this sermon to encourage a post-Thanksgiving thanks. My family and I had the privilege of worshiping on Thanksgiving Day, and we were encouraged and even challenged to give post-Thanksgiving Day thanks by a sermon we heard from Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Israel itself was reminded when they had eaten and were full, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, when they had eaten and were full in the land that God would give them, after that, then they were called to bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And the minister made the point in this sermon that this was after the people had eaten. And we can apply that today after we've eaten the turkey and the ham and all the fixings or whatever else we've eaten on Thanksgiving Day. The calling is after this to give thanks. And here's the challenge. After we've been fed, after our flocks and our herds have been multiplied, after we've digested the good food and are satisfied, after we have all our earthly needs taken care of, we are now to bless and to thank the Lord as before. Now this, I would submit to you, this post-Thanksgiving thanks, is indeed a real challenge. The people of God in the Old Testament were challenged at this time, and in fact the challenge was necessary. They themselves, when they entered the land of Canaan, would be prone to trust in themselves and to imagine that God himself was not involved in the giving of the good gifts of the land and of the triumph over their enemies. This is our challenge, too, in our day and in our America. We as Christians here in this land are those who celebrate the mercies of God in Jesus Christ, and that how often we can take for granted all that we've been given as Americans, not only, but as Christian Americans. And so post-Thanksgiving thanks and the call to that is a challenge and is an encouraging word that we need. And we need this, beloved, from the Word of God. We won't get this kind of leadership and challenge among the leaders of the land, who hardly even mention God in their proclamation, Thanksgiving Day proclamations. We need the leading of the Spirit through the Word of God. And so we have that, beloved, in a wonderful way in the psalm that we read, Psalm 92, which provides for us what I would say is the greatest motivation to give thanks. The greatest reason for giving thanks, not only on a day, not only for certain things, but always and for the God of our salvation, is given in our text. And that great reason, that incentive for all of us who hear this word is given, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Just because it is good, that is the greatest motivation we have for giving thanks to the Lord. And so, with that motivation and challenge before us from the Word of God itself, let's consider good thanks, beloved, good thanks. And first of all, that it is to someone and for something that we need to be focused upon. If our thanks and our post-giving, Thanksgiving thanks is to be good, we must indeed hear this word about those things first of all. And that means, beloved, we are to hear that we are to give thanks to the Lord, who is also called in our text the Most High. This is so very important. If we are to have post-Thanksgiving thanks, and that means thanks that's really true, that's all the time, that is worthy of the name Christian, we need to remember the one to whom we are to give thanks. Now, how this is left off in our culture. We give thanks for many things, for many things. And there are many reasons and things for which we're thankful. For food in abundance, for liberties in the land, for relative peace on our shores, and for the relative peace in the nations. We give thanks for these things. We give thanks for the farmers. We give thanks for the food. We give thanks for all of the grocery stores. And we give thanks for the men who put themselves in harm's way so that we could have the blessings of liberty and peace. And we take not these things for granted. But we need to remember the one to whom we give thanks and we are to give thanks. That is vital. And the text here reminds us that the nature of thanks is to give thanks to the Lord. And he's called the Most High in our text and the Lord to remind us that he truly is this God with whom we have to do and to whom we are indebted. God, not man, not farmers, not men in arms. But God is the one to whom we owe everything. Isn't that the case? Doesn't the Bible say that God is the one from whom comes every good and perfect gift? Doesn't the psalmist celebrate the God who waters the hills and the valleys and who gives food to the cows and to the sheep and so on and who makes the pastures grow? Isn't that the word of God that we need to hear? We are the ones who are the ones indebted to the Maker of heaven and earth. That's what this text is leading us to, and the psalmist was leading the congregation of Israel to, this thought of God. Oh, high theology, how important it is for a church. High theology, meaning the extollation of God Most High. We have not a small God here, beloved. We don't even have a high God. And children, we don't have a God who's over here and there's another God over there. And we don't have a God like that. In fact, he's even higher than the mountain ranges. He's not a Mount Everest God, is God. He's the Most High. And that's the way the Bible itself is almost grasping for words to describe the transcendence of God. He's great and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway, and you're going to be able to search it anyway, the words of the psalmist tell us, if only you can get it a little bit. But get it we must. If thanksgiving we would give, and good thanksgiving we would give, our thoughts must be of the Maker. And so it's not that we earn our daily bread, as if this is indeed the one to whom we give thanks, ourselves. This is the problem always with us. We are so proud and so self-sufficient, we think that we'll help God along maybe, but after all, it depends upon us. But no, the psalmist says you give thanks to the Lord for the strength to do things, for one another, for the farmers, for the soldiers, for your dads who bring home the bacon, as it were, and moms who help out in so many ways, but unto God. This is vital here. And to God, who is this Maker and is this provider, and whose provision means that He governs all things and upholds all things. As we read in Hebrews, He upholds all things by the word of His power. All things. So that if He didn't, you couldn't exist. If God Himself didn't hold you up, you couldn't breathe. You couldn't have one more heartbeat. You'd fall over. You'd dematerialize. You'd be done. If God were not your provider. That's how close God is to His creation that He's made. So think of that. Think of the Maker if your thanks would be good. Think of the one who sustains everything. Think and be humble about yourself, you creature, you. This is the implication of the psalm. We're pointed to God and away from ourselves. There's nothing here of creaturely thanks to creatures, though we ought to be thankful for one another and indebted to one another. And indeed we are. And we ought to be. We don't show thanks to God and we're so spiritual that we never give thanks for other people. But you see, the point is we're thankful for people. We're thankful for the means in our lives that God provides for us as we give thanks to God who provides these people and these means of provision. So that is, first of all, the focus is on the Lord. And here it is, this good thanks, this giving of thanks to God is of a people that knows their Lord and has the right perspective of the Maker. But then, beloved, it is only good if we would give thanks to Him who has saved us from the greatest of evil, and that's sin. You see, the psalmist here is giving thanks to the Maker, who's the Lord, the Most High, who's the Lord. And that word in the Bible, and your Bible may be, and mine it is all capitalized. You know what that means? That's the Hebrew word there for Jehovah, the Yahweh, the I Am that I Am. This is Israel's God. This is the Maker indeed, who's also the friend. This is the one who provides indeed salvation to a people. Not only earthly life, but forgiveness. This is the one to whom they go and they say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all our iniquities." This is the God who came to Abraham and said, "I'm your God and your children's God. I covenant with you. You're mine. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God." This is the God of Isaac and of Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob, and now of the church of the New Testament revealed in Jesus Christ. You see, this is so vital. And you won't find this in presidential speeches. You won't find this in the nations of the land. Sadly, you hardly find this in churches. Thanksgiving is all about looking to God and giving thanks to God for Jesus. Oh, yes, it's in the psalm too. Did you know that? Psalm 92, I know, is written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. But it's the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, we ought to know, if we know anything of the scripture, is the word of Jesus Christ. There's only one word from Genesis to Revelation. It's not an Old Testament word and a New Testament word, and they're different. No, God, who spoke in Old Testament times, has now spoken by His Son. But He spoke, you see, the same word then too, even in different ways. But the word of promise, the word that I am your God and you are my people, believe in me. The word of calling, the word of promise, the word of obligation, the word of blessing, the word Jesus Christ, your Savior. That's what we give God thanks for. So that's so important for a good thanks, isn't it? To give thanks to the Maker, the Most High, for the Savior, Jesus Christ, and forgiveness in Him. And a people here is celebrating on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, this wonderful provision of the Lamb of God. There would be lambs that were sacrificed, especially on the Sabbath day in the morning and the evening worship. And they would be pointed all the time to the way to God through that blood. And note how the psalmist here sings praises to the name Most High. Well, that name Most High that's given among the sons of men is Jesus. And so you have here Jesus Christ, the essence of this psalm, and victory in Him and provision in Him already promised in the Old Testament and now fulfilled in the fullness of this time we live in. Well, beloved, and so it's good to give thanks to our Creator, to our Savior, for Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. Do you do that? You do that? Do I? Will our post-Thanksgiving thanks reflect such a focus on the Most High and such a joy and gladness and indebtedness to God for His coming and saving us in Jesus? Now, that's the challenge in our age. The challenge is to rise up above the victuals and to contemplate the victory in the Savior. The challenge is to know forgiveness as the principal benefit of the living God to us. The challenge is to know that we have been liberated by God from sin. The challenge is to thank God for this freeness of grace and that we haven't lifted one little finger to earn salvation, but He gives it to us freely. The challenge is to be, you see, not like the culture of this age, not even like the so-called Christian culture that gives a little bit of lip service to God and even to Jesus, but then with the left hand and all of its God-forsaking doctrines denies the sufficiency of the cross and of grace. See how important it is in this day to be focused on God, to be centralized in our preaching and hearing on the name of God in Jesus Christ revealed. Be thankful for that. Now, beloved, we have to be led in the way to good thanks. And the Word of God here gives us great hints, not only, but descriptions of what our thanks ought to be like if it's to be good thanks. And this is my second point here, beloved. Good thanks is, first of all, focused on God and thankful for Jesus Christ. And it has a certain look to it. And let's see if our thanks measures up to what the psalmist says good thanks looks like. Now, beloved, the first thing that we ought to remember if our thanks is to be thanks to God, especially for Jesus Christ and all blessings in Him, is that it must be word-centered. Our lives must be word-centered. Here's a challenge today. To live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's what Israel was taught, and you can see that in Deuteronomy 8, where the challenge is given for post-Thanksgiving thanks. Man does not live by bread alone, Man dies by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. If that's the case, beloved, we are lovers of the Word of God, of this psalm not only, but of the whole of the revelation of God. This is vital for Christianity in these last days, in this 21st century, that we be a people of the Word. Word-centered thanks is where it's at, beloved. It's the light upon our path. The light so we look up, and we look up beyond what we can see. The Word that creates faith in us, creates it where it wasn't there. Creates, instead of despair, hope. Instead of bondage, liberty. Because by the Word, the people of God are set free from sin and bondage. Note how Paul in the letter to the Colossians, reminds us of this. Chapter 3, and he says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." And then this. Here's how you're going to be thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." But the word, you see, and dwelling in us richly, that's key. What does that mean for us in this day? That the word of God would dwell in us richly. Well, beloved, that means we eat the word more than the stuff of this world. It's got to get there, right? It's got to dwell in us richly. For us to be glad in the Lord and not just glad in this world and for this world, there has to be this taking in of the word. How often, beloved, we read a verse in the morning, kind of a snack, and think we're going to get by in the whole day on a word like that or whatever. And we just kind of take morsels from the Word instead of really feasting on the Word and being glad to chew the Word, as the Old Testament figure is, to ruminate on the Word, to digest it and then bring it up again, to chew on it, to think over and over on the Word of God. That's having it dwell in us richly. That means we hear the preaching of the gospel, by which faith comes, the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. Nothing but the truth here, and all the truth. And here it is over and over again. So very important, beloved. And that we study the Word of God. This is the gladness of the Bible studies we have here in this church. We can come together and have that Word encouraged upon us. And we hear the Word of God from one person's perspective and another in light of the Scriptures. And we say this is good because we're being fed by Christ through one another. His sovereign grace is to be a church worthy of the name church. It must be this word-centered church, because if it's a word-centered church, it's full of thanks. There's hope for thankfulness in the midst of all of this life. And so, necessarily, to give good thanks is to be those who dwell upon the Word of God and have it dwell in us richly. Well then, beloved, and I'm almost speaking at random here. There's so many things we could say about this, but just a few more aspects of this display of worship or this display of thanks. And that is to say, in the second place, good thanks will be worshipful thanks. Note here, the word giving thanks and singing praises are used together. This is something we can often miss. We are those who are the thankful people, and we thank God, and it's good for us to thank God. It's virtuous, it's becoming as the children of God for all that He's given in Jesus Christ and all the blessings of this life that point us to our Maker and our Savior. Beloved, good thanks is even higher than that. We give, you see, good thanks with a motive to praise God. Is that your thanks? We give thanks, and that has to do with what we receive from God. But praise leads us higher. Praise reminds us that it's good to give thanks just because God is God. And whether or not He would give us anything, we are to thank God and praise God. You see how selfless thank is. It's not, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and this kind of thing. No, it's an indebtedness, an obligation, which is even more than that. It's this understanding that it's right just because God is God and we are not, to give thanks and to praise Him. So often in the Bible, giving thanks for goods received and salvation and singing praises are together. They have to be. They have to be. And that means, beloved, we give thanks and therefore praise regardless of what we've received. Regardless of how much we have. And the psalmist goes on to speak of this kind of otherworldly thanks to God, regardless of what we receive. In light of the fact that it seems like wicked people who give no good thanks spring up like the grass, verse 7. They understand things, they're senseless. They flourish. That's verse 7 too. All the workers of iniquity flourish, even though it's that they may be destroyed forever. In the light of that, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to give thanks regardless if I don't flourish or not. And you see, that's post-Thanksgiving thanks. That's real. After the food and all the fixings, and when there may not be any more of that, we still give thanks. Because again, our thanks is for praise. And we're not putting strings on our praise. We're going to praise God only if. No. We praise and we give thanks simply because God is God. And as the prophet Habakkuk has reminded us and does remind us, it's true. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. No matter all the things that aren't there, or are there, God is there, and I am here, and it is good while I have breath to give thanks and to praise. It's simply good. It's simply right. It's simply becoming. So we give thanks for spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. See, that's the focus always of the Word of God, to rise up above what you see to what you don't see. So you're with Peter. Blessed be God who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed be God for forgiveness. Blessed be God for justification, our being made right with God through the imputation of Christ's own righteousness. Blessed be God for sanctification, this beginning of holiness in my life. Blessed be God for the communion of the saints. And beloved, I bless the Lord for the communion of the saints here. For friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing. We thank God for that. And we thank God that it's not because we're all the same, but it's because God is the same to each of us and merciful and kind. And one of the things the psalmist himself celebrates here, and this is an indication of good thanks, is the free mercy of God. And the grace of God. You note that? Verse 2. The psalmist, after having said it's good to give thanks and sing praises to God, he says, and this he goes on, it's good to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. We urge our children to do that. To think of God in the morning. Loving kindness in the morning. Mercies new every morning. And then at night, think about how faithful He was to continue to show those loving kindnesses that He showed in the morning. That's what the idea is. God hasn't changed over the day. How important. How important. You see, what's celebrated here is what the Bible in the New Testament calls grace. And grace for grace for grace. Meaning, it's the celebration of God's lavishing us with grace, mercy, and then more grace, and then more grace every single second of the day. We celebrate loving kindness in the morning, and though we sin, and though the stocks fall at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we have nothing left, we celebrate the grace of God at noon. And we celebrate the grace of God at 1 o'clock. We celebrate the grace of God, though we've turned away. Yet God has not turned away from us at night. How important, in order to give good thanks, that we remember the faithfulness of God and the mercies of God. This is why we're here, beloved, to preach in Northeast Grand Rapids, to preach in this day. There is a God who's all in the business of saving sinners. That's why we give thanks for grace, sovereign grace, last I knew, free, kingly grace to me, the King of sinners. We give thanks for that in our nation, in our time, and so that we're glad. That's the last thing I'll say, almost. We're glad, as verse 4 tells us, "You have made me, Lord, glad through the work, through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." Oh, how exciting. The psalmist is made glad. I think we read a versification of this psalm. It said, our heart expands when we think of the things of God. Our heart expands. It's enlarged. Well, this is the truth of salvation. We're made glad. And it's the truth, you see, of assurance, not only. We know we're saved. We're certain we're saved. We're certain we're going to be saved. We're certain because God is God. That's what we're celebrating here. We're celebrating this wonderful certainty of salvation so that we're not going to be those who fret and who moan. Even when we sin, we're going to repent when we sin, to be sure. And we're going to be grievous at the consequences of our sin, but we're going to be glad nevertheless as we look up and we say, "Oh God, my Father, forgive me." And as He says, "I forgive you, Son, and I take you back." And though all your life you've blown it and you've rejected me and you've only want a half God, nevertheless, as you repent now, maybe for the first time, I say to you, I forgive you all a lifetime of sin and neglect and of lukewarm Christianity. God's love is like that. So we're glad. Through His work, not through ours, in which we triumph, we overcome evil, our own evil, the evil of others, all because of grace. The final thing then, beloved, is this is very loud. This is very obvious, this thanks. Good thanks, which is word-centered and worshipful and makes us glad, all these things, and it's for grace, is very loud and very, very much displayed in this world. That's what the psalmist speaks of here. He's not speaking of giving thanks in a corner somewhere in quiet, but he's speaking of giving thanks and singing and declaring loving kindness and faithfulness on instruments of 10 strings, the lute, the harp, and harmonious sound. And the idea here, beloved, is that we are those who pull out all the stops, as it were, in thanks to God. Are you that way, beloved? Post-Thanksgiving thanks is identified to be recognized in a people that pulls out all the stops. What do I mean by that? Well, beloved, we can't hold it in. We can't hold it. We don't want to hold it in. We show off the praises of God. This is post-Thanksgiving. This is real thanks. This is the real Christianity that God works in a glad people's heart. They want to use whatever instruments they have. And I'm not going to talk here about those instruments, beloved, except to say this. Whatever you have, pick it up and praise. Whatever you're given to say in the light of the Word of God, say it and say it out loud. Shout it and sing it. And whatever strength you have, well, kick up your feet. And whatever perspective you have, show it. Whatever talents you have, use them. This is the idea of these instruments all together in harmony, working and showing off the one who is worthy of praise and the one to whom we give thanks. And beloved, you do that. You do that. And it's even good for you. And this is my final point, the blessing. It's good to give thanks. Yes, in itself, it's becoming. It's also good for us. You ever talk to older people, beloved? I do regularly at the rest home. And I'm constantly reminding them to grow old and not bitter. And I've talked to some people and they've gotten bitter in the difficulties of life, often very vindictive. And they speak of how people disappointed them. Churches disappointed them. They're not, you see, being thankful. And it's not good. It's not healthy. You know people like that? They grow older and they grow bitter. They grow more selfish and they're thinking just about how people can serve them. And it's all about themselves. And this is a sad part, not just of old age, but of old age and bitterness and thanklessness. That's how I see it. Oh, beloved, we want to be those who are glad and giving thanks. And that's good for us, always. And it's good, beloved, because it's healthy. And it's good for a congregation when we're full of thankful people. It's bad for a congregation when we're full of bitter people and complaining people. And one bitter person and complaining person can be like leaven that leavens the whole lump. And pretty soon we're all thinking evil. And we're all not thankful. And we're all those who see the cup half empty and not the cup of salvation that's full. And we're all of those who are ruled by the circumstances of life. And as one preacher has said it, we have circumstantial thanks. We're thanks to God only in certain circumstances. Oh, beloved, the thanks that's good is not thanks for circumstances. It's thanks for salvation in spite of it all. And so to give thanks is good and healthy for us. And it's attractive and glorifying to God. That is, God gets the praise. And people who want the same thing that God gets the praise love a place like that. They love a church home like that, that will be there and give thanks and express joy for the praises of God with them. So, beloved, for the praise of God, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. Let's have post-Thanksgiving thanks, real thanks, good thanks. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray Your blessing upon us. Help us, we ask, to show forth Your praises, to have good thanks all around in every Sabbath day and in every day of the rest of our life. May we be thankful for Jesus and unto You, our great God and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.